Please turn your Bibles to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, in the flesh I live with faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Good morning. With the time I have with you this morning, I'd like to look at three questions that we can ask ourselves to put our lives in perspective. And this is helpful if you haven't been a Christian, if you haven't decided to follow Jesus, or if you have and you're feeling discouraged, or if you're unsure of yourself. The first question I'd like to ask, that you can ask yourself, is who are you? You ask yourself, who am I? This is a question of your character, of who you've committed yourself to be. Well, the first thing you can do is look at your past. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, most of us here are Christians. We've been baptized. Acts 2:38, after Peter gives the first gospel sermon, they ask him, what shall we do? What shall we do to be saved? And he says, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So for most of us, we ask ourselves, who are we? We can say, well, I've been baptized. I've been baptized, and I'm living in Christ now. And that's why I asked Jacob to read Galatians 2:20. Because we're not living for ourselves anymore. Whenever we've been baptized, we made the commitment that we're not living for our own desires and our own wants. We're living for Christ. We're here, still here in the flesh, but we're living for Christ. Christ is living in us. And so who are we? Well, we can say that, well, I'm Matt, but I'm living for Christ. That's who I'm living for. And so we can ask ourselves, have we kept up? Have we kept up with our expectations that we've given ourselves? Are we growing or are we failing? Well, one thing we can look at is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Paul says to Timothy, some people are going to fall away. Some people are going to be led off by different doctrines or by lies, and they're not going to stand strong in the faith. But a real problem we can have is in verse 2. By means of hypocrisy of liars, they're seared their own conscience. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's say you mess up one time and you sin. You fall for this temptation. Well, you feel really bad about it, and that's a really good thing. That means you have a good conscience. But then you sin again and you fall to it again. And you keep doing it and doing it over and over until you don't feel bad about doing it anymore because it's a habit. Well, that's a really bad thing for Christians because then you don't feel bad and you forget what's important. When you do that, you've seared your conscience and you keep sinning and sinning over and over again and your conscience is seared. You have no good conscience anymore because now, to you, it doesn't matter because it's normal for you. You forget your values and you forget what's important. One thing to keep away from that is to be always growing and helping each other grow. If you turn to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Paul is saying here, we're giving thanks to God because you're always growing. You're always growing as Christians, and you're growing together, growing in love to each other and love to God. And that's one thing that we can really help each other with, is encouraging each other and checking up on each other and making sure we're all being the best people we can be. So when you ask yourself, who are you? You can say, well, I've dedicated my life to Christ. I've been baptized, and that's who I am. Or if you haven't been baptized, you should look into that. You should realize in the Scriptures who you need to be once you make that decision. You need to know your values, and you need to know what's important to you. So you can say, well, I'm living for Christ. That's who I am. Well, based on your answer to that question, you can ask your second question, and that is, what do you want in life? And this is a question of your goals. You could want to have a family. You could want to live in a big house or live in the country. You could want to own a business or anything like that. But what do you really want out of life? And the big picture, what do you want through life? Well, one thing, if you answered your question that you're a Christian, the number one thing on your list should be eternal life. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. 1 John 2:25. says, "This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life." If you are answering yourself honestly when you ask who you are, and you're living for Christ, and that's who you are, the number one thing you're going to want is to be with God. And God has promised us that. We can be with him forever if we fulfill his commandments. And see, goals are something that help us be the best person we can be. They drive us. They give us motivation, and they are determination for us. And the great thing about the Bible is it doesn't just lay the goals in front of us and say, all right, just fulfill that, get to your goal. No, it gives us steps so we can get there. One thing that I think is very important for us to realize is the Bible gives us specific instructions on how to get our goals and how to get away from them. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 very plainly illustrates this. Romans 6 and 23. It reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, in life, we're going to be faced with lots of choices, especially here in America, the land of opportunity. We have so many choices to make, daily and big choices in our lives throughout our different years and lives. And see, what Paul has written for us here is that we have a lot of choices. But out of those choices, there's always going to be at least two options that you can have. You can go with the sinful option. You can commit the sin and fall to the temptation, and your result will be death. Or you can choose the right answer, and you can have eternal life in God. You see, this is important for us because even as we're falling, God will always pick us up. And we always have the choice to do the right answer. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, if you'll turn there, it's a really encouraging verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." We will be tempted. That's not a question. It's a statement. We're going to be tempted in our lives. But God knows our limits, and he has always given us a way of escape. There's always an option to do the right thing. And that's what's really great about our spiritual being, the way God created us. You see, when we're born, we're young, and we get to a peak in our lives, our peak physical health, and then we decline. That's how our bodies are made. But with the way we're made spiritually, God has given us the ability to always be growing. We start as a Christian, we're a babe in Christ, but then we can keep growing and we'll never decline. If we have the option to always be the best person we can be, growing daily. And so we have choices. If you want to get in life, you have to go to choices. It's like those books that you'd read as a kid. Those choose your own adventure. You'd read so far, and then you have to make a choice. And if you got to this, if you wanted to do this, you'd go to page 27. If you wanted to do the other thing, you'd go to page 6. And then you'd get to your different ending to the book. Well, that's how life is, but it's a lot more important than just a book. You make different decisions, and those will lead you to different goals. But we obviously have the right choices to make if we are to get to the goal we want. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, it describes how this is all going to turn out for us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll start in verse 10. This talks about the second coming of Jesus. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things will be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day of coming of God? Because of which the heavens will be destroyed and burning, and the elements will burn with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Peter very certainly puts this down. And we have two options on the way that we'll go. Either Christ will come while we're still living, or we're going to die. That's a certain thing. There's no question about it. But then Peter not only says that, okay, at some point you're going to go on, but he also gives an application. He says, so what sort of people ought you to be? You have the information. You know he's going to come. So how are you going to live your life? And then he answers it in verse 14, 2 Peter 3 and 14. He says, "Therefore, beloved, you look for these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you." We need to be found blameless. We sing the song sometimes, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching?" And it's a good song, but we really need to think about the words. Are we going to be found waiting for him? Are we going to be found ready for him to come and ready for Jesus to come? Ready for our ultimate goal in life? Are we going to be found in distrust of ourselves? or unsure of who we are and what we want in life? Are we going to be found as faithful servants to Him? That's the choice we need to make. Well, how do you make sure you make the right choices? There's so many choices we make in life, but how do you make sure that you do the right one? Sometimes it's not always easy to tell. Well, Nehemiah gives us a great example. Romans 15:4 describes that the old law is there for our learning. Well, Nehemiah chapter 2, it gives us a great example of what to be like. And Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. And Israel had been taken, and Judah is now in captivity. And there's a remnant of Israel left. And the king asked him, Nehemiah, what's wrong? You look kind of down. And Nehemiah says, well, my land is taken. My land is desolate. You know, my people are destroyed. And so the king allows Nehemiah to go back and restore Jerusalem. And so now Nehemiah has come with some of the remnant going to restore Jerusalem. And this is what he says to them in verse 17, 2:17. He says, then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in. The Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. I told them how by the hand of God had been favorable to me, also in the king's words which he had spoken to me. And they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. We need to be like the Israelites in this setting. We need to be able to have an attitude that says, let us arise and build. Let us go and do the good work. Because this is a very good parallel to our lives. In verse 17, he says, you see the bad situation we are in. And he gives them a calling. He says, let us go and let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. He says, let's go. He have a calling. Well, so do we. We have a calling to be the best Christians we can be and be ready for Jesus. But then what do they say in verse 18? They say, let us arise and build. We should have that attitude. Because they could have said a lot of other things. They could have said, oh, but Nehemiah, we're really weak people. We're only a couple of people. We're a handful. We're not anything we used to be. Or, oh, Nehemiah, we're destroyed and people don't like us. People are going to try and stop us. But Nehemiah this. But what did they say? They said, let us arise and build. Let's go to the calling that we have. Because they had a goal. They wanted to bring back Jerusalem. And they made the right choices, and they had the determination to do that. And that's the attitude we need to have to our choices. We need to be able to make the right choices with the determination that we're doing the right thing. In John 8:51, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And then turn a few chapters over to John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, we've already said that the person we are, we followed Christ. That's who we are. We're living for Christ. So obviously, we love Christ. We want to be with Him forever. That's our goal. So if we do, we're going to make the right choices. And we're going to keep His commandments. And the way we keep His commandments is to be searching the Scriptures, always diligent and always motivated and determined to do what's right by knowing what's right and what is in the Scriptures. So we know that we know who we are now when we ask these questions. We know that if we're discouraged, we can say, okay, with a definite answer that I am living for Christ. That's who I am. And I want to be with Him forever. That's my goal. So then the third question depends on the last two. Where are you going? Where are you going to go after this life? And depending on how you answer the last two questions will depend on your answer for this one. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27. Jesus puts it very plainly how He wants us to live our lives. Matthew 16, starting in verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is coming. He's going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels. And He will repay every man according to his deeds. Jesus very plainly points this out. And the questions I had lined up line up very well with this scripture. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, that's our goals. We want to come after Jesus. That's who we want to be. That's what we want. And take up he must deny himself. And that's what we've done when we've baptized. When we've been baptized, we deny ourselves. We're not living for ourselves anymore. We've put away the old man. We're a new man now. Whatever worldly Matt wanted doesn't matter anymore because I'm not living for myself anymore. We're living for Jesus. And in verse 24, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That relates to what we want in life. How are we going to get what we want? We're going to take up our cross and follow Jesus. If we want to be with Jesus, we must do what he says, as we looked at earlier in John 14, 15. In verse 25, it kind of talks about how selfish people can be. He says, "For whoever wishes to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If you're going after yourself, let's say you haven't been baptized, and a worldly person will do whatever they want. And by that, I mean they'll go after their goals. Now, maybe some of the goals that we've set out for ourselves aren't necessarily wrong, but if they're distracting us from God and what we really need to have, then they're not the goals that we need to have. If we're selfish and we're going after our own ambitions, then like he said, we're going to lose our spiritual lives, because that's not what really matters. In verse 27, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father and his angels." Realize how he said, well, the Son of Man might come later, maybe. No, he said the Son of Man is going to come, and then with his Father and his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. This reminds me of another verse in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 13. "The conclusion is, when all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." Now this is really an amazing thing for us to realize, because here, Solomon was blessed with wisdom by God. He could have had anything, but he said wisdom, and that was a great thing to wish for. And so he wrote this book. He looked at all of life, and at the end of his life, with all the wisdom he had, he wrote a book about what was important. And at the very end of this book, you know, he might have said any number of things. That, you know, be with your family, because that's really important. Or work up for your life, because then you have your works to lean on. But no, what Solomon said with all his wisdom, said the conclusion is, when all has been heard, is this. When everything, all the wisdom under the sun, that all my life, this is what it all boils down to. Is to fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. Some translations say this is the whole of man. This is why we're here. This is why God created us, was to serve him. And if we answer the question, if we're living for Christ, that's who we are. We're here to serve God. That's why we exist. And verse 14 tells us why. "For God will bring every act to judgment, whether it is hidden, whether it is good or evil." If you turn back a couple pages to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 17, it reaffirms that idea. 3:17 says, "I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man. For a time for every matter and for every deed is there." Solomon said to himself with all his wisdom, he said, the righteous man and the wicked man both die. Nothing stops that. That's a definite constant. God will also judge the righteous man and the wicked man. And so who are you going to be? Going over these questions one more time. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be the man that seeks after himself and loses his own life, as we looked at in Matthew 16? Or are you going to stay true to the commitment you made, however many years ago it was? Are you going to stand for Christ? Is that who you're living for? Well, then what do you want in life? Are you going to want to grow every day to be that much closer to heaven, to be always ready when he comes? Or are you going to seek after these earthly goals that are eventually going to fade away? And how are you going to get there? Are you going to be always encouraging others, always helping others to get there? Are you going to be making the right choices? Are you going to have the right attitude towards it? Maybe you're going to search the scriptures, and you're going to make sure that all the decisions you make are right in the Word of God, because you know the Word of God, and you've searched it. Well then, if you can answer the first two questions with absolute certainty, then you know where you're going. Then you know you're going to be with Him forever. So if you haven't made that decision, if you haven't decided to serve Christ, then you need to. It's the only way you're going to ever get to heaven. It's a big commitment, but it's one you have to make if you want to be with him. Or if you haven't, you're going to be judged by God, just as the righteous man and the wicked man, just as Ecclesiastes says. Or if you have been baptized, but you're discouraged, or you need prayers, please come forward now as we stand and while we sing.